The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 212 at this stage. Not quite sure. Realise that that means we're past the seven-month mark, so we're into the last half of the first year of the Stream Streak. Yeah, year one. And I'm joined by the wonderful and immutably gorgeous Owen Jackson. There he is. There he is. Hello, sir.
I never know what to do with all these platitudes that you throw my way, but I'm very well, Rob. How are you?
I'm very excited because you and me, we're going to try and do this every Monday. We've been doing it for a few weeks, and we're going to talk about the Age of Sigmar tournament results that happened at the weekend. Now, sometimes that's going to fluctuate up, sometimes it's going to fluctuate down. Eventually, we're going to bring in some stats. We're going to do a whole bunch of stuff, but right now, we're just going to talk about the list. So I'm excited about that because I like talking to you and I like talking about tournament results and lists. And there's some unshocking news if you've been keeping track. But if you haven't been keeping track, which I don't think many people have right now, then you might be in for a bit of a surprise for what's been going on around the world. But before we get into that, I want to say a big shout out to everyone who's joined us live, wherever you're joining us live from, if it's Facebook, YouTube or Twitch today. Can be all the places. Owen, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good. I played quite a lot of Warhammer myself this weekend, which was fun. But yeah, I mean, obviously, everything has to be in context of what's going on in the world. But in general, yes, I'm good. I'm very well. I'm excited. It's funny you saying what you were just saying about the meta. If you'd have kind of been put in like a sleep chamber for 9 months or a year and then you looked at all these results, you'd have been a bit like, whoa, what's been going on in the world? But there's lots of interesting armies that generally shoot that we're going to be talking about today. I think that's a headline, isn't it? Shooting is still king.
You've been keeping track, have you? Yes, shooting is still absolutely king. Shout out to everyone who's joined us live. This is a live show, so if you listen to the podcast back, which you can do, of course, please stay hydrated. And if you are watching live, big shout out to you in the chat. Thanks for joining us. And we're supported by and sponsored by everyone on the Honest Wargamer Patreon. So it makes it easy. We don't have to do long sponsor ads in the show. It's the Patreon guys. They're the best. So love to you, all of you. Hope you're all well. Yeah, there's... Should we catch everyone up on where the meta is at, we think, right now? Have you got any thoughts on where you think it is at the minute?
I mean, I think it's really interesting. Obviously, we've had quite a lot of tournaments this weekend, and they kind of only really back up a trend that we've seen in that, you know, the GHB points changes for the Caradhron Overlords has really pushed them up because, you know, whilst they can be wherever they want. And I think the problem in the past was that maybe they didn't have the output. But now that everything's that little bit cheaper, then I think, it's no surprise to see Caradhron Overlord doing well. It's no surprise to see Seraphon doing well. And it's no surprise to see Tzeentch doing well. And then again, it's no surprise that all those books came out this year. So, I mean, people talk about power creep, but yeah, I think you either need to be able to tank a lot of wounds and have a really good board presence, or the other way. You're one of the armies with this really insane ranged output and the ability to teleport or move really fast and then put that output where you want. That's kind of where the meta is at the moment. If you're turning up to a tournament, expect to face at least, you know, a couple of shooting lists over the course of five games. I mean, what about yourself? Where do you think we're at? I know that's kind of probably a really big generalization.
No, that's good. I think some of that could create some examples. Like if you're talking about like the tanky wound based list, you really are looking at like Fire Slayers lists. You're looking at something like who are like not quite as many wounds, but very, very, very survivable, or something like Horde of Blight Kings, which is, you know, can push like close to 200 wounds with a 4-up save. Sometimes they can have 5-up DPR. So those are two examples of kind of like more combat orientated but like very survivable lists. or you've got something super fast like Stonehorns in Boulderhead. They're not generally a 5-0 in our army. They're more like a 4-1 traditionally, but you can sometimes bump that up if you try super hard or if you don't or Taylor. I'm just going to throw that out there so that I don't have to listen to any complaints you might make right now. And saves life. But it's undeniable that Seraphon are S tier. Like, in my opinion, they are the top of the pile and they're the strongest. But there isn't really any way to overly beat them, in my opinion. I think you lose with Seraphon. You don't beat them, if that makes sense. They've got all the tools, but it depends on matchups. It depends on the actual army. So there's a thing. And then below them, there's a very, very nice kind of like sub tier in that you are really rocking your Lumineth Realm Lords, in my opinion. Your Change Host Tzeentch. Although your Arcanum Tzeentch is Host Arcanum Tzeentch is still, I think, has play, but Change Host definitely has the tournament results. That isn't just my opinion. You've got Ideneth Eels, can't mess with them in any way, shape, or form. Bone Reapers, even post Petrifex nerf, are still absolutely smashing it and are doing really, really well. So let me just make sure I got this. Fire Slayers are in that mix as well. So that's like five armies, and I'm sure there's one more I meant to say that I've missed out. A KO, of course. Of course. Yeah. Arguably, KO is the top of those five. Six. But that puts seven in the kind of, I think, very, very competitive tier, and then everything below that. That's kind of where I think is everyone.
I think on the OBR front, it really is just catapults now. I mean, looking at results, a lot of people are moving towards like Staliarch Lords, which is fun, but yeah, they looking at the results and things, then I don't think Staliarchs can really cut it. So when you look at OBR, I don't think the combat OBR can withstand all the output now, certainly from like your flamers and your salamanders and things. So it is just your three or four crawlers, which you're going to see a lot when you think Bone Reapers. I think that's fair to say.
No, I agree with that absolutely. And one of the also really, really important parts, actually, post GHB 2020, for me, the thing I'm most excited about is those missions and those battle plans, because you can play a bunch of battle plans really well, and then you come up against Scorched Earth and your army just doesn't work. That's the kicker for me. I'd probably put Scorched Earth in most games right now. I don't know about you. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was game one. Even though I rolled for my missions at the weekend, I had a quick little mini hammer time at the weekend just to make up, because I was all set for the Super Series. I'm sure like you were, Rob.
Was.
And then unfortunately with the postponement, I was like, screw it. Let's just have a quick little one dayer. And yeah, that was, go ahead.
Scorched Earth killer, I think. I think a lot of people just roll focal points or Battle for the Pass, or less so Battle for the Pass, and then actually when you start playing it, that will change the shape of tournaments. So I think that also is one of those things that will change results as well. Mm. Anyway, so should we look at some of the results on the weekend? Because I think we had three events on the weekend. They might have had a fourth over in Australia. Oh, did you get the results from that? I didn't get that.
I did try and dig on Tabletop Tier, but I couldn't find it. I know what the top three armies were, but I don't know what their specific builds were.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I do have that. It was Simon Hall's event. Yeah,
is that it the was. One?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Was.
I've got the headlines on that, and it's actually interesting because those three armies don't really crop up anywhere else in any of the other tournaments. So that was an interesting one. I've got the Red Harvest in Canada, so I think that was only 16 players, but that was a five-game event. There was an event in Italy, the Weekend Warlords. There was my little TTS, and then the big one was obviously the German Tabletop Championships, which you covered some lists on Friday, didn't you, Obli?
I did, on a Thursday, yeah. should we talk about the results from that? Because that's probably one of the largest results, data that we got so far. Post GHB, and that was German Tabletop Championships. It's five rounds, and it got taken out. So first, second, third. First was KO, second was Sinesh, and third was Tzeentch. Now the KO build is actually really important if you haven't been keeping track of event results, because it has happened a lot. KO have smashed it. Be from New Zealand to Germany to America to Australia to England, KO have been doing really well all around the world. So this isn't one person doing well, this is the army doing well in multiple locations and oftentimes multiple lists. although
yeah, although sorry, I think that's something that you need to touch on. Sorry, Rob, is that KO and Seraphon and Lumineth actually? It's not like there's the one build. There's your Petrifex. It's not like that. You see Molnar coming up a lot, don't you? You see Urbaz, and then Zilphin, I think, is the cookie cutter.
Yep.
But in the same way as with Seraphon, you've got your Dracothian's Tail, you've got your Fangs of Sotek, and then Thunder Lizards. So mm-hmm. I think it just does show the strength of those books. But I don't know. With KO, do you think there's a little bit of people not knowing exactly how to play against them? Do you think that's coming into it, or do you just think it's a powerful book?
I think both is true. I think they've also got some very unique abilities in there. The Navigator is genuinely like very good. Yeah, does some really, really good work. They also have got like a lot of rend, and they've got specific damage. The interesting thing about shooting, which I'm sure I don't need to explain to you guys, but we'll just go through anyway for people who might be new, is that you're able to bring all of your damage to bear in a certain location. Now, if it's only like 18-inch kind of effective range shooting, it's still like, you know, you've got, instead of just going, I need this one unit, I think of a good example of one time I was charging a Ghoul King on Terrorgeist with 12 Kadai Fireborn, and I was like, this is the unit that need to do that damage. And they didn't kill it by one wound, where had I done a bunch of shooting into it at the same time, and then followed it up, I'd have been be able to bring all the damage to bear in one place. And that's where the shooting, I think, is really strong, is that it means that the movement is less important and positioning is also not as important as well. You can't also argue with like the Ironclad in that list, whenever the Ironclad is in the list, and it's not always in the list as well, which is really interesting, is just way more survivable than people really give it credit for, because the ability to choose to reroll saves, like, it genuinely, like, survives, which is important. And then they all just leave. If they get in this tricky, you can't wrap them up, they just teleport out. So the answer is, I think the book is strong, but I think people are learning to play it better. And I think that this book requires playing more than we give it credit for. So those are some of the factors, I think. So Timo, congratulations to Timo for winning this event. Timo Weeble, I hope I've said that right. He was rocking a Barrack Zilphin list with an Engine Master with dirigible suit. He took the command trait, the Great Tinkerer, and the staff of the Ocular Optimization with his artifact. You've got Aether Chymist, which of course had the spell in the bottle. The spell in the bottle that he took was the Warp Lightning Vortex. Sometimes you see people take the Stormcast Comet, but what makes me laugh is the amount of people that do. The people own a KO army and a Skaven army, or just a KO army and some Skaven spells?
I mean, they need to rebox that Lightning Vortex, don't they? They need to make it a Caradhron Overlord's release, not a Skaven release. Because I think, yeah, it's mad that the that coming down 20 points combined with all of the points drops, it does seem a bit bonkers. But yeah, I mean, I think the reason why you see Zilphin so much is because it does allow you to do basically the alpha, doesn't it? So you can move in your hero phase, then move again, and then just automatically throw out that triangle of death and profit, right? It's just that shock to the... You can go early, because I looked into it. I keep seeing the Iron Sky Command, and that's in this list, and it's also in the list that won in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, why do I keep seeing this? Because you see the attack squadron quite a bit, which is you can drop your lads out after it moves. But I think the Sky Command is just to get low drops so that they can alpha, because I looked into it, and it gives you battle shock immunity wholly within 18 of the Ironclad, which is nice.
Yep.
But not clutch, because you're wanting to bounce around a lot, aren't you? But I think it's just to get low drops so that you can just go in and vortex, right? Vortex early.
Yeah, I think so. I think I wouldn't say that it's... They normally... It depends on what you build. Like, if you were playing Mornar and you had more bodies, like we saw Tubbsy do over in New Zealand, then the Iron Sky Command becomes even more important. But ultimately, you don't have a lot of bodies in this list. So there's 10 Arcanauts, there's 2x6 Engine Riggers. Sorry, 3x6 Engine Riggers, so there's 18, which is fairly unique. You don't tend to see that. You normally see more Arcanauts on the board. And then 2 Gunstruck Gun Haulers as well. But yeah, that Iron Sky Command ability, I agree with you, it's probably to get the drops lower. Although, when you're looking at this list... However, losing a couple of Engine Riggers to a Battleshock test isn't something you would overly want, I guess. But I agree with you. I don't think that that's the key focus. I think it's to get everything down. And then he's got because he's got the Engine Master with the dirigible suit, that's why he's got the Engine Riggers as battle line. And what a cool army to put together as well. Like, you're talking about, you know, obviously everyone's on the Gargant hype train at the minute, but this is just like three boats, 18 balloon lads, and then a couple of characters. It's pretty low model count, really, which is super fun. And you get to paint up an odd spell. But yeah, it's weird that they're using the Vortex, them dwarves, traditional enemies of the rats. In the chat, AOS Tim says, also KO are not dwarves and do not play like dwarves. They're just wood elves and they're an insult to dwarf fans. That's what he thinks. That's a pretty strong opinion. What do you think of that?
Also, KO are not dwarves and do not play like dwarves. They're just wood elves and they're an insult to dwarf. Okay, I'm just rereading it again. I don't know. Dwarves have always liked black powder weaponry, haven't they? They've always liked cannons and organ guns and stuff. So, you know, they've got to adapt. So they've learned how to make flying devices, and they're just taking their cannons to the sky.
I'm sure someone out there is listening, maybe someone who's new, or Sora in the chat says, my friend has a KO army, and in friendly games he doesn't do the Alpha Strike. I guess the real question is what can you do against such an aggressive Alpha Strike? Realistically, the best thing you can do is try and create yourself some room. Pre-game moves is probably the strongest thing you could do, or deploy something off the board. I know that's easier said than done. Your army might not have access to any of those things, but there's some options there. So anyway, they took it out, and this is the maybe third or fourth 5-0 for KO in 2020 since the GHB 2020. So points reduction, new battle plans, new battle tome earlier in the year. The another 5-0, which is pretty good. So with the update that we got recently in the FAQ from Games Workshop, they said that all White Dwarf, specific White Dwarf battalions were available and publications available to create an army. Therefore, that meant Selesky's Host, which was a White Dwarf battalion, well, kind of sub-faction, playable. I saw this play last year at Krigs Luntan, which was pretty fun. It took Krigs Luntan out in Sweden last year, but this is almost a year ago. But now back on the table, a lot of people saying that they think Sinesh hasn't got legs, but Sinesh came in second at this event. Owen, what did you think of the list? Did you check it out?
I've still got PTSD from old Slaanesh, and I did play Selesk Host at Heat 1, and it's crazy powerful. I mean, it's essentially you get double depravity wholly within 12 of Selesk. The thing that I thought was notable on this list, and often with a lot of Chaos lists, is the way that Slaves to the Darkness units are perhaps what's dragging things back into competitive, into making these armies competitive. So, for example, you know that I've been playing a lot of Slaves to Darkness in Khorne with various degrees of success. But I think things like your Chaos Lord on his Manticore, a Chaos Sorcerer Lord on a Manticore, and the Keeper of Secrets there, you've got three fast, relative... I was going to say relatively survivable. They're all on a 4-up save. It is interesting how he's got that to work.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. So if, again, like we talked at the top of the show about armies that you're going to see, one of those things you might see very often is Seraphon. Seraphon will always have Croak in their list, which means they'll do capped out mortal wounds if they manage to hit into the Sinesh force, which is pretty, pretty terrifying. You can lose most of a demon force to just Croak on his own. If you then happen to play against Thunder Lizard, there's also going to be bonus damages against demons as well. So the kind of anti-meta pick that you see Sasha put in this list, which is really fun, Chaos Lord and Manticore, Chaos Sorcerer Lord, Chaos Sorcerer Lord, we'll put that to the side, the Chaos Sorcerer Lord on Manticore, those two are really important because they're not demons. So their survivability is a little bit better kind of generally into the meta. But the one for me that's really key here is that Chaos Sorcerer Lord, and then you'd mix that up with the 10 Chaos Warriors that's in there as well. So the Chaos Sorcerer Lord can give reroll saves to a unit, which is pretty big, as can the Chaos Sorcerer Lord on Manticore. So the Chaos Sorcerer Lord on Manticore can make itself reroll its 4-up save, or those 10 Chaos Warriors, which is 20 wounds, can have a 4-plus rerollable save, ignoring spells on a 5-plus. So they're like, normally you see people go for like Hell Riders, or they just take max, like, 3x10 demonettes, they just go min battle line. But that 10 Chaos Warrior block, which is only 180 points, actually. I was looking at that, I was like, It's quite cheap, isn't it? You know, for 20 wounds with a 4-up, that's pretty good. And then, so that's going to have like a rerollable save. But the key to this army is keeping Selesky alive. Otherwise, you don't get all the extra depravity. And in that situation, he's taken Palisade as a spell. He's also taken Chronomantic Cogs. And I think that's really important because then you can give Selesk a rerollable save as well. So there's a lot of rerollable saves in this army if it's up against the right sorts of units. And then, of course, he's got the Keeper of Secrets in there as well. So Keeper of Secrets can make a unit fight last. So if he throws the Keeper in, the Chaos Lord of Manticore, he does 3 damage on the charge, Ren 2. It's pretty good. And also throw in, you know, and you could either speed up Cog, so everything's going in and hitting, or you could slow it down. I don't know. Like, it's strong. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of tech in there. I want to double check if the Chaos Lord on the Manticore has Fight Twice command ability as well, because that would mean that, you know, the Keeper and the Lord, who can do a bit of work, they can both fight on, you know, fight twice, which is, you know, playing Archeon. I like fighting twice. Chaos Lord on Manticore, no, he doesn't have the fight twice, which is odd. The one on foot does, but he doesn't. But it's an interesting one because you say there's a lot of rerollable saves and resilience there, but the old wisdom with Slaanesh was that, you know, it doesn't matter when stuff dies, your heroes die because you bring them all back. Whereas I suppose with the summoning being nerfed, maybe that's not necessarily the way to go. I don't know if there's much healing in there. I'd like to look into this one.
There's only the spell, isn't there? The Progeny of Damnation, which can heal D3 or D6 back. Which is pretty. Thanks everyone for noticing my background image, Bellacor. Yeah, the best ever. Ultimately, I'm pretty certain that this is a list that while it did come second, it did lose a game. So the KO list is the only one that went 5-0. Interestingly, also at this tournament, I don't know how the secondary points were done, so I'm going to have to double check that. But also, the other only undefeated list was also a Seraphon list. So kind of like doubling up that kind of reinforcing what we were trying to say earlier, to be honest. So as much as Slaanesh came second, it was due to secondary points that the 5-0 Seraphon list ended up coming fifth, run by Robin. So that's something to note. So this Slaanesh list is as cool as it is, and it's really cool to see Slaanesh up there, even though it's Selesky's host, but they doubled the depravity. So it just now means depravity is what it was before when they're in their 70% win rate sort of area. You know, we've doubled it, we've halved it, and then we've doubled it. So they should be back at top. Is that right? Or am I wrong? No, too much shooting.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're quite back to where they were, especially with they got kicked a bit with the loss of all the realm artifacts, didn't they? So I still think they're never going to be what they were, are they, Rob? Much like the world, perhaps. No, that's a bit fatalistic, sorry.
If everyone can everyone in the chat just throw Owen some love, please? I just want loads of love hearts for Owen. Super, super great dude. I just want you to feel... loved for it. Anyway,
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm good. It's a real up and down time though, isn't it, I suppose. But hey, one thing on that Seraphon list, just as a note, is it was a Thunder Lizard list, so yeah, again, a very heavy shooting. I'd imagine often you see with Thunder Lizards it's the double Bastillodon with Croak and perhaps a Burning Head. That seems to be the optimal way to go with that, but yeah, shooting. And then the other lists, again, you've got a Tzeentch Eternal Conflagration came in fourth, so again that heavy shooting build. But in third is an interesting one. It's a bit like Stuart Iron Guts ran. It's Archaon in the Hosts Arcanum.
I've been saying this for months. Love it. It's so good. Hosts Arcanum, best bit about Hosts Arcanum obviously is the pre-game move. Yeah, so up to D3 units can make a move, start the game. That's not a full move, sorry, a move of 5 inches only. So that's really, really important. Especially when you throw something like Archaon in there. He's just like, well, I want to get closer, and here I go. Like, and that's a great, great start. And also, check out my boy in the background, Bellacor. Bellacor as an ally. Honestly, if you're playing Chaos, I just don't know why I don't see Bellacor in basically every list. I guess in the Slaanesh one, you want to like max out the depravity point generation that you saw before. But, oh boy, big, big fan. And that pregame move is just exceptional. really big fan of that. Really big fan. And then also he's got Infusion Arcanum on that, which is really important. And then Chaos Sorcerer Lord. So Chaos Sorcerer Lord, because it's Slaves to Darkness model. I mean, who leaves home without Chaos Sorcerer Lord? Truth be told. You're going to get reroll saves, and you get rerolls to hit and wound. So Archeon's just a monster, who's also got Destiny Dice for charging, which is also something we forget.
Well, also, don't forget Destiny Dice to just auto six somebody in the sword. Which I realized yesterday, which is brilliant. And also, you get, I believe with Arcanum, you get three automatic unbinds, don't you, in the first, the third, and the fifth battle round. So
yes,
with that, that's a huge amount of control there in a world of Croak and Teclis.
It is. It has to be on your Chaos Sorcerer Lord, though. So, like, because obviously you can't take that on Archeon. So that's really important. And you also
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is it an artifact that gives you that then, or a trait? Apologies.
Is it an artifact? You get, I think it's an artifact. I think the Spell Hunters is the trait, and the Fang Circlet is the artifact that lets you summon the extra six Screamers.
Yes. It just says, fun. Oh, here we go. It says, Thieves of all things arcane, once per turn during the first, third, and fifth battle round, when a friendly wizard attempts to unbind a spell, that spell. No, so any wizard can just get a free auto unbind.
Excellent. So you can pre-game move Archeon up, and then he's just shutting down one significant spell, which most lists have at least the spell. Some obviously have many, but shutting down that, the one spell, is fairly important. And
so I mean, looking at it then, Rob, it's you can see, you look at it and you're like, there's not much there, but you've basically got, you've got perhaps Archeon's the most survivable wizard, so let's say that he gets the three unbinds, so that's a level of control. Then you've got obviously Bellicor's control and deny, and then you've got 20 pink horrors, which is basically denial of any fun that the opponent's gonna have in the game. So
again, there's nothing I enjoy more than pink horrors exploding, but you have to say pop every time. Pop, put two down. Pop, 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 pop. Yeah, that's the best one. If or you get yourself a clicker. And then three screamers is each as well, so they can also make a pre-game move if they wanted to. So if you only rolled, like, if you rolled low on the D3, I mean, it's not loads of drops either. You know, like, it's six. That's fine. Geminids is in there. And also Darkfire Demon Rift. Let's talk about that. A pre-game move Archeon, and then I just box cars, Darkfire Demon Rift into Luminous Realm Lord's army. And if they don't have tech lists, I'm just like, ping, 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 ping. Mm-hmm. That's fun. That's some fun there. And it's nice. It's nice to see this because you see Change Host a lot. That's the cookie cutter. This, I think, is also a really viable one. And if you guys are sat on an Archeon at home, this is a list you can, like, build and paint and play around with. It's super fun, right? Everyone in the chat, big fan of Demon Rift. Big fan of Demon Rift. Also, Demon Rift good into Croak as well. That's also important. I really like this list. It's my favorite of the three, but I'm really glad Sinesh are doing well. So that was over in Germany. Woohoo! That's pretty fun. Nice seeing their meta, I think. Thunder Lizard did go 5-0, though. Important to point out.
Yeah just for the deniers, right?
Just in case anyone wants to make a YouTube video disagreeing with me. Over in Canada, Red Harvest GT. It was only a little event there, wasn't it? Little 16 folk logging. And then after they finished their logging shift, they went and played some Age of Sigmar.
I don't know, man. I'm not getting into these sweeping generalizations. But I've got some information that there were 16 players there, and it was in Canada, and it was called Red Harvest, which I quite like. That's quite a cool name, Red Harvest. We're in, you know, the time of harvest, aren't we? So have you got those? I've got the results in front of me and the lists. It was another win for the Caradhron Overlords, this time with a Barrack Mornar. It wouldn't be complete without Eidoneth somewhere, so we've got an Eidoneth Deepkin list, which was 18 attacking eels, an Achillean King, you know, 2x3 Ishlian Guard, 2x10 Thralls, 2x3 Aether Wings. So,
can I just make a quick point about this? Like, you see this a lot. It's pretty cookie cutter. Normally, you don't see the Ishlian Guard, although it's becoming more popular. I'd say it's becoming more popular just so that the Eidoneth player at the table gets to say something different. You know, they put down the Morsar Guard, and then they go, "Oh, I've actually got two lots of defensive eels, so I'm actually not that guy. I'm like completely different." It's like you've never seen this. Although he's also got 2 units of Thrall, so really mixing it up in this situation.
Well, just as a little side note, I played against a lovely gentleman in America on TTS last night, and he brought 10. That's right, 10 sharks. 10 sharks.
Wow.
And it was, yeah.
How did that go?
He beat me on the mission. It was great fun. I was played Khorne, Archaon, and bounced around, and it's just, he had 10 sharks, 6 attacking eels, and then 30 thralls, some shadow warriors, and one little hero. I looked at it. It's like 30 shots with a 36-inch threat range from 10 sharks, which isn't insignificant for picking off heroes and stuff. So, there are lists out there, but I think if you were going to a tournament and you wanted to win, then you would be very much going down the more Sargard heavy lists, right? They've just got great rules. They've just got fantastic rules. They can deep strike. They've got that shooting mechanic. I don't know if there's loads to say, but at the same time, I don't want to just gloss over it. They're just insane, right? Like, I still think the Morsar Guard is the best War Scroll in the game. I still think that.
I mean, Marauders is a pretty good War Scroll. I mean, you could make Morsar Guard 250 points, and then, like, their War Scroll won't deal with those points. But, like, anyway. But no, anyway. it's a really, really, really good War Scroll. Really, really good. And it's also the Salmon Cannon. So that's right. I mean, at this stage, there's very few factions or very few people who collect factions who are not excited about their new battle tome. You know, everyone fears becoming a Silver Death, obviously. But there's not anyone who doesn't think, oh, I'd quite like a new battle tome. Maybe get some new rules, bump up my power level. But I know Deepkin players are like, calm down. Like, we're good. Yeah, we're just going to do this, and we're not going to change. Like, let's leave us to it. It's been this way for 3 years. We're very happy. It might be 2. I think it's 3. But in first place, yeah, like you said, Mornar list. Again, Iron Sky Command, just like you talked about. An Ironclad as well. A Gun Hauler. 6 Enduring Riggers. 3 Enduring Riggers. 10 Thunderers, which normally go in the Gun Hauler. In the Ironclad. So that's the thing. And then it was a 2x10 Arcanauts and 20 Arcanauts, and Navigator as well, and a Chemist. So you're more not traditional, it's just another version of this list that is also doing well. They're just doing well all over, aren't they? Just fear the Skyboats. they're just Carriage and Overlords players walking up to tables like, I'm the captain now. That's it. I'm the captain.
I do really like, has he got a, yeah, he's got a Navigator in there, hasn't he? I do really like that Navigator ability. I think it's a 3-up, just turn off fly, which is huge, especially, you know, in the mirror and things like that. You don't always see the Navigator, I don't think, but I think he's a key piece in the meta at the moment. I don't know Mornar very well. I know Zilfin, but Barak Mornar, is that what Tubbs runs, did you say?
That's what Tubbs runs. If you guys can go listen back on the stream street for like a detailed breakdown of why Sean Tubman, who won an event in a very competitive environment over in New Zealand, went 5-0 with a Mornar KO list. So I encourage you to go do that. I will just ham hock it. It's totally worth listening to. Loads of good detail. And then in third place, Fangs of Sotek list. What a shocker. Balewind Vortex, Bound Geminis, Vorguish, which is super weird. But that's what they always take. Croak, Starseer, Star Priest, Ashloth Banner Bearer, 2 Skink Priests, 3 Salamanders. Can we just talk about, for a moment, the War Scroll update? Not the War Scroll update, the War Scroll Builder update that's gone into effect, where Salamander Hunting Packs now don't say that they're 12, they say that they're 3. That's been a big change, and I'm really happy about that.
Yes. Yeah. It was always a bit confusing before. But they've got all those ablative wounds, right? Which kind of, it does make it a bit complicated. And when you play it first, you're like, okay, so I've got to do, how many wounds do you have to do to that unit of 3 then before you start actually getting to the meat? I think it's like,
it's 9, it
12
isn't it?
Wounds or 9?
Yeah, it's 9.
Yeah, that's right. 3 handlers per sally. Mm-hmm. So,
they have 9 ablative wounds. And actually, before you even kill the first sally, you have to actually do 12 wounds to the unit. Before you kill the first one, which is important. Now, sometimes you can kind of battle shock them if you get, like, if you manage to hammer them enough, but sometimes they're on a 3-up rumble save, so that's just a drama. But 40 skinks, 3 lots of 10 skinks. So what you see in there is, like, the two big outputs of the Salamander unit and the skink unit and then everything else is just for board control and controlling space. But the kind of the techie thing that you see in a lot of Seraphon lists now, which I think you see more and more, you see nowadays, like you've been seeing for 3 or 4 months, is those chameleon skinks, which just do incredible work. There's only 2 units of 5 in here, but I mean, you've seen units of 20 play, right? And they've done really good work.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think 5, if you look at it, I think you can make a comparison perhaps with the Tree Revenant War Scroll from Sylvaneth. So these are 10 points more, but they don't have to charge to take an objective back off of like a little. So your opponent's left a little 5-man unit or something back there, and the difficult thing with your Tree Revs
always was...
Three man crushes. I don't know. The five camos are going to... I suppose if they position... That's the thing. If they position incorrectly, you just drop your 5 on and you cap. Lovely. Or if it's just, if there's nobody there, great. But the ability to drop and then have the output to pick something off. So you could drop down and you don't have to charge that unit of 5 Chaos Warriors. You just got to try and get a couple of mortal wounds off on them from your shooting. And then you can just stand there because you've picked one dude off and you've got 5... in your unit and they've only got 4 and you get that point. So I think, and you can pick them up again, right? And drop them down. And I think the +3 to save in cover is huge. Like I had a bloodthirst to go twice into 2 units and I couldn't wipe them all because they had a 3-up save, but that's bloodthirsters, isn't it? So, right. Yeah,
it's unfortunately bloodthirsters. But no, I agree with you. I think that they're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're going to be as popular as Heartrenders. That we saw taken time and time and time and time again. So there's some really odd, like little. I like these little units. And I saw, like, for instance, last year we saw Nikos do like really, really well some events with just like a whole bunch. This is pre-book, so I don't know why I'm talking about it. But there was a thing anyway. So you see this a lot, and you always see Croak and Ashloth Bandera and a Vortex. It's just, but you have to pay the points to make that happen. So you know, that's fine. So that was in Canada, and again, it was nice. It's nice to see these lists that are doing well are just being done, doing well by different people in different places. Really reinforces the idea that that's how they play. And then what was the? Oh, I have an event. Sorry. No, it was a very small event, very very small event that, in Denmark. A little one dayer, so it's only a little one dayer with Eels coming first. I'm sure you can guess the list. However, now only went 2-1. Only went 2-1, so don't get too excited. Didn't win, but Sylvaneth came in second place, which is exciting. Yeah.
Okay.
2-1.
Now you have my interest. Yeah. Talk to me. Have you got the list?
No, unfortunately, I did. I got it in a very odd format that I wasn't able to read through, but I will find it later and maybe talk about it tonight. But I might be able to find it. I'll have a quick look. Do you want to let us know about the event in we did the Australian event, haven't we?
Yeah. No, we haven't touched on that. As I say, the information is limited. We might be able to get some more information on the specific builds, but we could always guess based just on the factions. So yeah, in Australia, it was run by Simon Hall, and that was just 16 players, 3 games, just a one dayer. So third place was Fire Slayers. Second place was Stormcast Eternals, and first place was the Ogre Moor Tribes.
Oh, was it Boulderhead Moor Tribes?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. We can guess. Should we guess? And then we'll go back to it and see. So Fire Slayers.
It's okay. It's being told in the chat. Thank you very much. It was Boulderhead, and it was Shootcasting 2. So that's important to know. And if you guys don't know what I mean by Shootcast, because it's a shorthand, it's normally Vanguard Raptors with long stripe bows. Normally they can either be taken in like a mega battalion of 3, again there's an interview you can go back and listen to, or it's just as many of them as you can fit in, and they just shoot in anvils of Heldenhammer as many times as they can. That's what it is. They make it rain arrows, sometimes for some reason called Snipecast, which I find odd. Have you ever heard that terminology used before?
Yeah, I've been using that term a little bit, actually. But that's before the ones which include all of those conclaves. There's the 3-chamber, you know, there's the triple chamber one.
Yeah, where the two that go into one.
Yeah, and then you tend to see little units of 3 there, along with a lot of Venators with their star-fated arrows. So that's what I would see as snipe cast. Shoot cast is more your big brick of, well, not brick, your 9 vanguards with their long strikes. And like a Vexilla to bounce them around and shoot in the hero phase. That's the traditional shootcast, isn't it? And I suppose shootcast used to be the Celestar Ballista, RIP. Where has anyone seen a Celestar Ballista?
They were at 10 points and they were unplayable, basically. No, that's not the case. I think the ballistas, like, they do great damage over time. But they don't do they don't do specific damage. A bit like what we're talking about at the top with KO. Like, they will overturn time do so much damage, but if you got to throw a lot of points in to buff them, they're really susceptible to having mortal wounds dropped on them. The support characters, at least, anyway. But probably, I don't know. Maybe it was never a thing. It did win some events, though. So I've got the Sylvaneth list for you, if you're interested.
Oh, God.
A Gnarl route. Yeah. Don't forget, it lost a game. 2-1. Very small event. So don't everyone get too excited. But it's got a Dreitcher in. It's also got a Branch Wraith, another Branch, and a Branch Witch. I think that's right. They've all been named, Owen, so it's incredibly annoying. An Arch Revenant, 30 Dryads, 3 lots of Tree Revs, 6 Kurnoth Hunters with Scythes, 3 Kurnoth Hunters with Greatswords. That's disgusting. And then a Tree Lord, oh my god, in the Household Battalion with Spite Swarm Hive and Prismatic Palisade. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that list? That's a list, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I like about Household is that you can't retreat from the Tree Lord, so you do just have to stay there and kill it. But other than that, I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's got reroll ones from when you're near the wizards is nice on the so Dreitcher's shooting, you're gonna get 20 shots, rerolling ones, hunting for sixes, which are mortal wounds, which is nice, with a decent range. I still think that Dreadwood is the only one that's gonna really have any chance of sort of getting a 3-2 or a 4-1 in the hands of a really good general. I just think there's too much anti-magic, so I don't want to. I don't want to be dismissive of that, but there's a lot of lists that would take that apart, right? I'm not being rude there.
Again, really small event in Denmark, but they messaged me and I thought, you know what, I'll talk about it. And if you do have any events coming up, let us know, because currently with the dearth of events happening, which means not many events happening, we obviously want as many. I just want some like anecdotal information in some cases anyway, and I'll be the judge of whether or not I think it's valid or not, in which case and the Sylvaneth one is not, but it's nice that they won two. Can we all just take
it's great, man. Like, yeah, you would walk away super happy, so I just want to make sure that I'm not being dismissive at all. That's brilliant if you can do that, because it is a dice game after all, right? And, you know, you can play it really well if they manage to get the trees down and that Branch Wraith, if the Branch Wraith has perhaps got the Spirit Song Stave and they can get, you know, two casts and maybe get Throne of Vines off early so they're at +2, then they can keep feeding those Dryads forward. If they can make it work, more power to them. So I'll give congrats to the Tree Bro or Tree Girl, yeah, whoever that
agreed,
was.
Agreed. That was the only one. And I think, wait, is that it? That's all four of our resolves, I'm pretty certain?
Yeah. I mean, I've got the...
You had Hammer Time, which was a TTS event that Owen ran at the weekend as well. How did that go?
That was interesting. I mean, it was a very small field because I only announced at the last minute. So we had 12 players, but quite a few good players. You know, Philip, the Russian ETC player, along with his teammate Artyom. And then you had Matt Golds were playing and Buckets, like lots of the regular people that you see at a lot of my events, PASC. We had 12 players. Now, the meta wasn't particularly diverse because there were five Lumineth lists. Five 12. Lumineth out of 12, two Seraphon, and then off the top of my head, I played because it was just a small one. So I took Khorne, and then there was Flesh Eater Courts. Oh, questioning me now. But yeah, there was an OBR, there was a Staliark Lords list in there. It was mainly Lumineth and Seraphon. But saying that, again, quite a bit of diversity. You had lists, you had a Zytrek list, you had Sire lists, So you know, there was some diversity within there. You had with Teclis, without, there was a few Alpharians running around. Yeah. So, and in that, that was won by Artyom, as I say, one of the Russian guys, with his Dracothian's tail. But it is an interesting one. It was only three games, and one of the missions was total commitment. So he wasn't able to use his Dracothian's tail drop down. So, you know, players don't know, you can reserve, I think it's 50% of your army off the board, very much like a Stormcast build, and drop them down, which is incredibly powerful when you've got Salamander Hunting Pack, for example. So the list is, he's named them all, so I won't go through all that, but basically he's got a Slan Star Master, Ancient Knowledge, God Beast Pendant, Stellar Tempest, and an extra spell of Celestial Equilibrium, Croak with Stellar Tempest, a Skink Priest, a Star Priest with Tide of Serpents, an Astrolith Banner Bearer. So the Croak and Slan together in Dracothian's Tale is that's seen quite often. So that's quite a cookie cutter sort of leader loadout. And then he had 40 Skinks with daggers and bucklers, and then another 10 Skinks, 5 Saurus Guard to give obviously Croak some extra wounds, 12 Salamander Hunting Packs, so basically 3 Salamanders. And then he's got 3 Vanguard Raptors with long strike crossbows, and 2 units of 3 Aether Wings, a Balewind Vortex, and the Bound Geminids.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's an interesting addition having those Vanguard Raptors with their crossbows in there. It's not a huge amount of shots, but I just think it adds another layer of chip damage, doesn't it, on top of Croak's spells.
You often see the Prime is added in addition to a Seraphon list a lot of the time. Big shout out to Stephen over in Northern Ireland, specifically because you do your global mortal wound damage coming in from Comet's Core, which is a spell that Croak can cast or any Slan can cast, and then you then want some sort of follow up mortal wound droppage to like kill a 5 wound character, and then if you wanted to, you could always turn one that or not, whatever. So it's a nice little additional thing to just kind of, very much like you see, like if you saw a Technado, let's say, coming out from Teclis, which is where he does his spell through the portal, you'll then see your Sentinels like chipping off the final few character wounds and dropping them down. Or even Scragrot is annoying his ears, same thing. Scuttletide, and then it'll just pop you with a mushroom in your head, so it explodes your brain at some point, which is always super annoying. Big shout out to Napratine for subscribing, and also Age of Sebmar and a bunch of other people for subscribing today. I saw you all, so loads of love. Constantine Kellis over on YouTube, so just popping in between classes to say that I one day here in lovely Gothenburg, Ineth Deepkin took down 2 Croaknados and Gits with a -1,000 hit to get first place. So there we go, a little live update. Thanks very much to Constantinos Kellis. I think I got that. That's fun.
One thing I'd like to just touch on, I don't know exactly how he's playing his Aether Wings, but I presume... I think one of the issues with this is that if you looked at this the Artyom's list, you know, on the board when he deploys, it's apart from the block of 40 Skinks, it's an incredibly small footprint, isn't it? And I have found that with these Seraphon lists, they don't like to have the castle stormed. If you've got fast alpha output, they tend to not be low drop because they don't they just don't build that into their lists outside of Thunder Lizards, but it just means that his Aether Wings, if he's given the first turn, they can go forward and cap early without having to throw away any of his important units, and they can zone out the board quite nicely. So I think that the 80 points for 2, you know, objective scoring units with a 12-inch move that can be a bit annoying and, you know, zone out against shooting and, you know, create some space on the board. I think that's, I don't know, what do you think? 250-point investment in 6 Aether Wings and Vanguard Raptors, or 300 points on a Prime? Where do you sit on that one, Rob?
Well, so it's a great conversation because really you got two roles really happening. You both got some ranged output, so they both do that, which is nice. But what you get from the Prime is you get the additional combat that you're going to go and punch through into a certain space. As you pointed out quite rightly, what you get obviously with the Raptor build is you get board space. And for me, board space is king. Like, it's one of those things that as you play through the game consistently and you play all the time, you start to realize that actually the movement is ignoring teleports and everything else, is super vital. So when you have something that's landlocked, so there's no fly or teleport, being able to just like stick something in front of it, like a screen, as you will have heard of before, like, it's so vital and it's so useful. But like you said, even just creating board space. So if your front line is 9 inches away from your actual front line, so if it's just your Aether Wings in front of your actual things, they've got to stop there. They've got to charge there. Now, that's really, really good. And that's why some of the lists that do really, really well generally tend to control board space quite nicely. One of the, like, Ineth do it a different way in that they can just be anywhere. So,
oh yeah.
I like that, but it really you're answering two different questions, right? Do I want more output, or do I want to control the space of the board more? And I generally tend to find that, like, when you start to really ramp it up, or if we look at lists that have always done well traditionally over the years, it's normally the control board space conversation, unless you've got something that really tips the damage. So maybe the Raptors, maybe the Aether Wings, I'm not sure. Like, I think you can find everything in the Seraphon list. You don't need to ally anything in, but obviously you can if you really want to, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of, you know, like somebody wanting to put a bit of special sauce on the list, because the core of it is pretty good. I mean, I had a conversation with someone a few weeks ago, and it was like, I think it was after Darren took Gotrek to the Super Series, and there was a conversation saying, I reckon 1500, a good 1500 point Seraphon list could probably do quite well at most tournaments. What do you think? 500 points down?
I reckon Darren did, right?
Yeah, exactly. Darren did. You know,
I reckon you could play 1800 point Seraphon and probably go 3-2-4-1. Like, truth be told. Like the addition of the two additional skinks units is that's what you drop in, and they just add nice utility for, like, you just backdoor them and you're like, now I've won, and they're like, oh no. But yeah, it's a super strong book, which is why obviously at the top of the show we claimed it as S tier, which I think is the thing. Big shout out to Pete the Wargamer over on YouTube, who I did some, got to talk to him on the Army Painter stream the other day. He's new to the channel, but hoping to pick up some tips when I get back into playing AOS.
He's a lovely man. He's one of the first people that I watched all his videos when I first started getting back into the hobby and painting. So yeah, Pete's got a lovely voice, hasn't he, as well?
He does. He really, really does. Yeah. I just got to talk to much cooler people than me along with Adam on Friday. So I just had a really nice time. So what? Big shout out to Pete.
And the guy from Spiky Bits as well, yeah.
He was nice that day. Let's say that, shall we?
Sorry, I'm being a provocateur. Sorry, Rob.
What a role reversal. I think
so. And then, yeah, just the last thing to touch on. So we had Artyom came in with the Fangs list. Matt Goldsborough, he was the top Lumineth player, coming in second. The Lumineth, though, there were five lists, and four of them are in the top six. I know it's a small field and it's only three games, but. Yeah, they did a lot of work. The Technado and the Sentinels. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in that book, right? And lots of weird interactions with bravery and it's even though there's not a huge amount of war scrolls in that Lumineth book, there's so much tech. If the rumors are right about how perhaps, you know, there's going to be more books that all kind of like combine together, you know, for the, you know, the Lumineth Realm Lords are the earth or the mountains, and then you've got the other elements, the zenith and the wind and what have you, then I shudder to think what it's like. Yeah, they're going to have all of the, when they have all of that together, it's going to be.
What I'm hoping they do is Games Workshop release all of the books, obviously in the paper format that they do, and then they somehow coalesce into some sort of Captain Planet style protection force that stops climate change. Would be nice. But I don't think that's going to happen. A bit of real world in there into your hobby. I apologize about that. I just thought of Captain Planet, and I thought we need to protect the environment. It just siren call in my head. And I apologize. I'll wind my neck back in is what I'll do. So overall, events galore, and not tons. Some normally when I used to do this with LLV. Big shout out to LLV when we do the stats. Obviously we would have like tournament results of like hundreds like per week. We don't have that at the minute, so like a lot of this is like how we feel and what like best fit and what some of that information is. But some things that are true and you can see all the time, they haven't shown their head today, but OC Arcs is a thing. KO, very good. Seraphon, very good. These are strong books, and if you wanted to collect those armies, they're in a strong place. Not forgetting the winter FAQ is not 2 or 3 months away. And that should hopefully change some of the Seraphon stuff at least. Whether or not it'll change the KO stuff, not really sure. Someone asked a question in the chat. It was their first time. They asked how Skaven are doing at the minute. Skaven are fine. Skaven are pretty good army. It's pretty nice, but these are the ones that are very strong. Very strong. And I think that's it for today. I mean,
yeah, I think so. I think we've covered the main headlines there as well. I'm really excited that there were so many tournaments going on around the world. I think even though we're still locked up here, it is really nice that at least some war gamers around the world get to play real true Warhammer. And hopefully our government can pull the finger out of their arse and let us go see each other soon, and we can start playing again soon as well.
We did forget to mention the event in Italy. Sorry, we forgot.
Of course we did.
There was an event in Italy, which was their Masters event. Is that right? No, their Warlords.
It was called Weekend Warlords. Yeah, I don't have a huge amount of information on this one.
I just know that Change Host won it.
Yes, and I looked into it, and it was a duplicitous Change Host. So, 40 pinks that you can't. Retreat from. Yeah, I think I heard Richie unabashedly call it full-on misery mode, and I've never forgotten that. He was like, "I know it's misery mode, but I'm playing it,"
which is fun because that's his playstyle. So, like
control, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He plays big control. So, like, if anyone is going to judge it, he'd probably be the person to judge that. He did the same with Gitz List. Did the same with Fireslayer. Is this same with Sylvaneth as well? So, like, definitely. Events in Italy are 10 a penny, though. That is important to point out.
Oh, well done, Gitley. Wow, he is just like the true master of the puns, isn't he? I think
he is.
I'm so happy he's in my life. it's just constant joy. Lord of Change, Changeling, double change caster. Talk to me why you would have two change casters in a Zeech.
I wouldn't be able to tell you. It is a simple answer. Changecaster is, as far as I know, is a war scroll that I've just ignored. So that would have been my initial reaction to it. Would have been horrible. So someone's worked something out that I hadn't worked out, which is very possible. Apart from obviously Gargans. I don't know, but that's fun. Hopefully we'll go find it out, and then we'll talk about it next week. So we'll come back next Monday if you guys want to catch up. And we can do this every Monday. So again, you've got event results from around the world. You can contact us on Facebook or Twitter or Twitch or. We've got an Instagram, but we don't use it, so don't contact us there. That'll be fun. Thanks, Owen, for this today. It's been really fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been really fun. I always like doing these because it gives me an opportunity to learn more about what's going on in the game. And I think whether you're playing or, you know, running events or just interested in the game, I think knowledge is power, right? So knowing what's out there and being able to feed that into your list design or thinking about what you might face. I think this is good. So, do you know, are there any events coming up this weekend? I'm not sure if anybody in the chat knows of any or what we've got to look forward to.
I think there's one in November on the 17th in Denmark, I think. And I'm sure there will be some more as well as some others open up. But it depends where, like Europe's being hit pretty hard at the minute. And we'll see what's going on. We'll find out and we'll talk about it next time. Thanks to everyone who has tuned in live today. I hope you've enjoyed that. Don't forget you can join me, Nathan, James, Dan tonight where we talk about our favorite Age of Sigmar rules. That's right, the top 5 best Age of Sigmar rules. Is it the priority roll? No, it's definitely the priority roll. That's the best one. That's the best one. So you can do that tonight, and you can join us again next week as well. Thanks to everyone that's watching on Patreon. Thank you to anyone who's watched us live or is watching us back. And of course, if you're listening to the podcast, please stay hydrated. Owen, you got any shout outs before we head out today?
Just Twitch chat, Honest Wargamer crew. Just, you know, just want to shout you boys out, everybody, boys and girls out. Just a lovely bunch of people, and keeping me sane during these crazy times. So, yeah, just I would say shout out to everybody. Just be good to yourselves, because, yeah, it's important. Be good. You know, if you want to buy some models, just buy some models. If you want to have some fun, just have some fun, because there's a lot of misery out there at the moment. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Agreed. I agree with that. I'm off for a jam sandwich is what I'm doing. Look after yourselves, everyone. We'll see you soon.